Let us pray. Heavenly Father, such a parade, such a journey, such a march, and yet no soldiers, no drums, no music, but the cries of Hosanna. Save us now, Lord. Indeed, Lord, may we join that cry, Lord, save us, for we know that indeed you have and you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray your blessing upon us, this hearing of your word. Amen. It's good to be with you this Palm Sunday. Last Palm Sunday, I was in Kampala. The palm branches are a little bit different. In fact, we bought the palm branches on the way to worship that morning from a street vendor. They're just kind of the long blade type palm branches. Nevertheless, it reminded me that throughout the world today, people are engaged in this worship, this remembrance, this recall, and this reality of a God who comes to save. I want to tell you a story. I want to introduce you to someone this morning. Her name is Lisa Kincaid. Lisa, tremendous athlete, high school athlete, back in the late 90s. In fact, was the all-female athlete for the state of Wisconsin in 1995. I could list all of her accomplishments for you, but the most outstanding thing about Lisa was her character, who she was, and how she treated others. And the day that probably exemplified that was the day of her first loss. She competed in 64 consecutive conference track meet events without ever suffering a loss. Went to state finals every year of her high school career. Won 6 state titles. But there was one day on which her character particularly shone through. It was just a small meet. It was called a duel. That's when just two teams are in competition with one another. And as it happens on some of these meets, sometimes the coach has to slot in runners in events that they're not normally going to have run. Such happened with Lisa. Coach came to her and said, I need to fill a slot in the mile. I would like you to run that. And being the team player that she was, she did. She started the race. She started out well ahead of the other 3 runners in the race. But on the final lap of the race, it seemed that she began to tire. At first, one of the opponents passed her. And then the second member of that team passed her. And finally, her own teammate, Jane, passed her. And Lisa was able to keep pace, just stay on the heels of Jane until they finally crossed the finish line. And this was her first ever loss in a track meet. Now, there's a story behind the story. The story behind the story is that Jane, her teammate, needed a point to be able to letter in her varsity senior season of her track career. And Jane was a miler, and Lisa knew, she had calculated, that the other 2 runners probably would beat Jane based on their previous times. You never know. And Jane, therefore, would have a lock on third, and third would give her the points that she needed to attain her varsity letter that year. She had a lock on third place until coach asked her to run the mile. And Jane came in third. Jane achieved that varsity letter in her senior year. And Lisa walked away with a strange smile on her face. Now, I tell you that story because for me, it captures what it is that Paul is talking about when he starts talking about not having selfish ambition, when he talks about looking to the interests of others, when he is talking about having among us the mind of Christ, that servant attitude that humbles itself for the sake of others. Christ Jesus today, we celebrate as he humbles himself and he rides into Jerusalem. And he rides into Jerusalem. Hail this king. But there's no band before him. There are no soldiers before him, as would be before any other king as he walks into his city, as he processes into his city. There's no beat of the soldiers' feet no beat of the drums as Jesus comes into Jerusalem that day looking to be beat, headed to the ultimate beatdown that is what we call Good Friday. Now, I have to share with you some of my tension, some of my challenge in this Holy Week. I love this week. This is the week, besides Christmas, that just really stirs my heart as a pastor, as a Christian. I actually can't wait for Easter. That's why we're spraying hallelujah before. I got to restrain that a little bit as we celebrate the resurrection of this Lord. And I'm so looking forward to this Thursday where 39 of our kids are going to be celebrating Holy Communion for the very, very first time. And then Good Friday. So good. So good. Hear these words from the epistle. And here, Good Friday. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And we know what happens to that likeness of men. And it begs the question of that, why would God come to us in the likeness of men? Why would he do such a thing? And the answer is found on Good Friday so that he could be beaten. As you see him in your mind's eye coming to Jerusalem, see him coming to the beatdown that is going to be his at the hand of the high priest. See him riding to the beatdown that is going to be his as he's whipped by these soldiers and mocked by them. As you see him coming, hear the hammer stroke, every beat of a nail that pounds him to that cross, and know that this beatdown is the beatdown that is for you and me, and we need him to be that flesh and blood Jesus who is beaten down for us. And look where I am, I'm at Good Friday already. Let's reel it back, David. Let's take a look at Palm Sunday. It's hard to reel it back because Palm Sunday is the prelude to that beatdown. Palm Sunday is the humbling moment that makes possible the humbling of Jesus on the cross. Palm Sunday is that humbling journey that brings together the journey of Jesus that began when the Word became flesh to dwell among us. We celebrate it as Christmas. Palm Sunday brings forward that journey in which the Holy Son of God is baptized on our behalf. He doesn't need to be, but he does it because his mind is not about himself. His attitude is towards us. He does it for us. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Blessed is the King. Hosanna. Such right words. And yet by the crowd, so wrongly applied. Hosanna, save us, Lord. Save us from these Romans. Kick them out. Be the king. Be the warrior king that we want you to be. Hosanna, save us, Lord, so that we can have our kingdom. Drive out the foreigners. Hosanna. Oh, yeah. They're the right words. They're the right words for them. They're the right words for today. Hosanna. Lord, save us. Save me from the beatdown of sin. Let this worship be a prelude to the beatdown that I know I face every day at the hand of sin and death and the power of the devil. But let it also be today the prelude to knowing the victory that is mine in you. That you have already beaten down sin. That you have already beaten down Satan. You defeated death. Yesterday, we got the word that our 102-year-old dear sister in Christ, Maddie Mashmeyer, finally got her wish. And her wish was to go home to the Lord after 102 years. And she was confident that that's where she was going because she knew that Christ has already beaten down death on our behalf. He's beaten down the power of the devil. And he's done more than that and continues to do more with that than that because he walks with us. The one who beats down sin and death and the power of the devil on Good Friday is the one who walks with you as you face all the beatdowns that life has to offer you. And not only does he walk with you in that, But he walks with you that you might have that attitude, that Lisa Kincaid kind of attitude, that attitude that does not consider yourself first, but considers others greater, that attitude that humbles itself in the presence and the reality of what Jesus has done for us. And it's an attitude that St. Paul invites you and me not only to have in ourselves, but an attitude to convey to others around us as well. I work with an awesome team of folks, your staff here at Concordia. And one of them sent out an email on Friday morning. And as I was kind of struggling with this application of how it is that God continues to walk with us and gives us that attitude, this email came. And I wanted to share it with you today because, my goodness, we all have bad days, right? And we need this Jesus with us in those bad days. This is what a mother wrote. She said, "My guy has been having some issues with bullying at school and has twice now come home with bruises on his face and body. The school is addressing it, but it hurts all the same. To make matters worse, the bullies have not inflicted just physical wounds, but they attack him verbally on a daily basis, and they spread false rumors so that others will as well. It is so ugly and horrible and mean." So on the way home tonight, we talked about Jesus and his walk through the streets of Jerusalem on the way to his crucifixion. We talked about how he had been whipped wearing a cross of thorns, or crown of thorns, and forced to carry the very cross on which he would be crucified. As he walked through the crowds that lined the streets, he was mocked and spit on as words of hate spewed from the mouths of the people. Yet, before he died, he uttered the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The bullies are cruel, but many times they are also fractured. They may come from broken homes or circumstances where they themselves are being bullied by an older sibling, or worse yet, a parent or step-parent. People don't bully because all is right with the world. And at the end of the day, I can't imagine that they feel good about themselves. Do you hear the attitude coming through this, by this mom? Even as she's thinking of her own beaten son, she's thinking about the beatdown that others experience. Now she goes on to say, it doesn't make what they are doing right, but it may help to explain their actions. As odd as this may sound, I asked my son to walk through the halls at school and imagine that Jesus was with him. Have this attitude that Christ Jesus had. I go back and quote St. Paul. She said, I asked him to imagine that Jesus was with him, by his side, because he understands more than anyone what it is like to be bullied. It may not make the bullies stop, but hopefully it will help him to feel he's not alone. As we pulled into the driveway, I wondered if my son had digested any of what I had said. He hadn't said a word all the way home. And then suddenly he said, "Mom, can we read the whole Bible tonight?" Have this attitude that Christ Jesus had. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. He humbled himself because his attitude was about you and me. Knowing that in the beatdowns of life, we needed someone who had been beaten down and who had beaten down the beatdowns to walk with us and to share that attitude with others around us. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. May every one of us indeed bow and our tongues declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I invite you to do so now as we join together to confess the creed. Please rise.